Or do you think that religious belief is necessary in order for us to have justifiable morals? Don't we need God in order to be good? Please read chapters 6 and 7 to see why this is not so. Do you still have a soft spot for religion as a good thing for the world, even if you yourself have lost your faith? Chapter 8 will invite you to think about ways in which religion is not such a good thing for the world. If you feel trapped in the religion of your upbringing, it would be worth asking yourself how this came about. The answer is usually some form of childhood indoctrination. If you are religious at all, it is overwhelmingly probable that your religion is that of your parents. If you were born in Arkansas and you think Christianity is true and Islam false, knowing full well that you would think the opposite if you had been born in Afghanistan, you are the victim of childhood indoctrination. Mutatis mutandis if you were born in Afghanistan.
The whole matter of religion and childhood is the subject of Chapter 9, which also includes my third consciousness raiser. Just as feminists wince when they hear he rather than he or she, or man rather than human, I want everybody to flinch whenever they hear a phrase such as Catholic child or Muslim child. Speak of a child of Catholic parents if you like, but if you hear anybody speak of a Catholic child, stop them and politely point out that children are too young to know where they stand on such issues, just as they're too young to know where they stand on economics or politics. Precisely because my purpose is consciousness raising, I shall not apologise for mentioning it here in the preface as well as in Chapter 9. You can't say it too often. I'll say it again. That is not a Muslim child, but a child of Muslim parents. That child is too young to know whether it is a Muslim or not. There is no such thing as a Muslim child. There is no such thing as a Christian child.
Chapters 1 and 10 top and tail the book by explaining, in their different ways, how a proper understanding of the magnificence of the real world, while never becoming a religion, can fill the inspirational role that religion has historically and inadequately usurped. The fourth consciousness raiser is atheist pride. Being an atheist is nothing to be apologetic about. On the contrary, it is something to be proud of, standing tall, to face the far horizon. For atheism nearly always indicates a healthy independence of mind, and indeed a healthy mind. There are many people who know in their heart of hearts that they are atheists, but dare not admit it to their families or even in some cases to themselves. Partly this is because the very word atheist has been assiduously built up as a terrible and frightening label. Chapter 9 quotes the comedian Julia Sweeney's tragicomic story of her parents' discovery, through reading a newspaper, that she had become an atheist. Not believing in God, they could just about take. But an atheist? An atheist? The mother's voice rose to a scream.
I need to say something to American readers in particular at this point, for the religiosity of today's America is something truly remarkable. The lawyer Wendy Kaminer was exaggerating only slightly when she remarked that making fun of religion is as risky as burning a flag in an American Legion hall. The status of atheists in America today is on a par with that of homosexuals 50 years ago. Now, after the gay pride movement, it is possible, though still not very easy, for a homosexual to be elected to public office. A Gallup poll taken in 1999 asked Americans whether they would vote for an otherwise well-qualified person who was a woman, 95% would, Roman Catholic, 94% would, Jew, 92%, Black, 92%, Mormon, 79%, homosexual, 79%,